तस्य ज्ञानाञ्जनशलाकया चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः श्रीचैतन्यमनोभीष्टं स्थापितं येन भूतले स्वयं रूपः कदा मह्यं ददाति स्वपदान्तिकम् वन्देऽहं श्रीगुरुः श्रीयुतापदकमलम् श्रीगुरुं वैष्णवांश्च श्रीरूपं साग्रजातं सहगणरघुनाथान्वितं तं सजीवम् साद्वैतं सावधूतं परिजनसहितं कृष्णचैतन्यदेवं श्रीराधाकृष्णपादान् सहगणललिता श्रीविशाखान्वितांश्च हे कृष्णा करुणासिन्धो दीनबन्धो जगत्पते गोपेश गोपिकाकान्ता राधाकान्त नमोऽस्तुते तप्तकाञ्चन गौराङ्गी राधे वृन्दावनेश्वरी वृषभानुसुते देवी प्रणमामि हरिप्रिये वाञ्छाकल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपासिन्धुभ्य एव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभो नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिवासदि गौरभक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्णा फर्स्ट ऑफ ऑल आई वुड लाइक टू वेलकम ऑल ऑफ यू दिस इवनिंग फॉर एटलीस्ट डिसाइडिंग टू टेक आउट 7 कंटिन्यूअस डेज exclusively evenings for coming here and trying to understand the essence of the Bhagavad Gita, the science of self-realization. I would like to congratulate all of you for making this effort to take out your time. I would like to apologize at the outset for 2 things. Number one, for all the people who are sitting down, we will make arrangements tomorrow. We had expected 17 extra people came up, so we'll arrange for the chairs tomorrow so you can be more comfortable. I would like to apologize for starting a little late. Generally the first day we allow people to come because later we fix it. Generally we started from 7 to 9. Course goes for 2 hours. So this particular course, which is going to present the essence of the Gita, is called the Science of Self-Realization. In this particular course, we will not be discussing the verses of the Bhagavad Gita. We will not be discussing all the 18 chapters of the Bhagavad Gita and the 700 verses. The purpose of this course is to introduce the audience to the fundamental, foundational principles underlying the Bhagavad Gita, a deeper understanding of which will help us to take to the Bhagavad Gita, and Bhagavad Gita will start make meaning in our lives. So we are not discussing verse by verse, that's not the purpose. We will discuss the 5 fundamental principles based on which the whole Gita is presented, and a understanding of which will help us to undertake the study of Gita, why we should study, how we should study, and what's the purpose. So, as I see, there are some familiar faces, and there are quite many new faces. The course helps, in the past few years that we have been delivering these courses, it helps different levels of people in different ways. Those who are completely new to the Bhagavad Gita, they will get an elementary understanding of what are the fundamental principles, so that they can understand the Gita better every time the next time they read. For those who have already been coming and attending the discourses in the temple for some time and have heard bits and pieces of philosophy here and there, this course will act like a jigsaw puzzle being put together, and you will get a bird's eye view of the whole philosophy of spirituality. One person expressed, it was actually his response, we had passed out a response sheet, and then he wrote, it was like a jigsaw puzzle being put together. We had heard little about soul, we had heard little about God, we heard little about yoga, something about karma, something about karma yoga, etc. But this course made, it was like a jigsaw puzzle being put together. You get a bird's eye view of the whole picture at a time as to what true spirituality is all about and where does Gita come into picture. And as for those who are well versed with the Bhagavad Gita, who have been taking up study of Bhagavad Gita, this will help as a preaching tool, how to present the Bhagavad Gita or how to give this message to others in a systematic and scientific way. So in this way, irrespective of which level you are, there is something for you. You will be benefited. So I would like to just briefly tell about, I think we should have this slides of the front ones, front row. Can everyone see the writing there? Yeah. So basically this 7 days, I would like to just briefly tell you about what are the contents that we will be covering. The first day it will be introduction, the search for happiness. Tomorrow we'll be discussing, does really God exist? The $1 million question. And if so, what is the scripture? Is scripture the word of God? And then third day we'll be discussing about, if he does exist, who is he? The fourth day we'll be discussing about, who am I? The science of the soul. And on the fifth day, a very important topic which I'm sure all of you sometime in your life have thought about it, are thinking about it, or I'm sure you will think about it. And that is, why do bad things happen to good people, or the vice versa? The law of karma, which affects many people's life very intensely. And finally, the fifth day will be the science of yoga and the topmost yoga system. What is yoga? What is the science of yoga? What are the different types of yoga systems? And what is the topmost yoga system? And the last day, we'll be discussing about the practical application of the Bhagavad Gita in our day-to-day lives. So this, in brief, is the contents which we'll be covering. Every day we'll begin sharp at 7 with a lecture, after which we have a brief slideshow which will summarize the day's presentation and solidify these points made by certain audio-visual presentation. At the end of which we will have a short question-answer session, if you would like to clarify anything, because there is no point in one-way traffic. So we would like to have some interaction. If there is any questions you would like to clarify, any doubts, you're welcome. And at the end we will have sumptuous dinner prasadam for all of you. So this is the way we will proceed. So today we'll be discussing about the day one, that is the first today. We'll be discussing about the introduction, and that is the search for happiness. It's very interesting that everyone, whether they know it or not, are looking for happiness in everything that they do, in everything that they endeavor. But very rare to find a blissful face. Temporarily, yes, but not always. Not for all time. Not under all circumstances. Therefore, the fact is, yes, we are looking for it. But we see very few faces who have actually acquired it. That's where actually the search begins. In fact, that is it that discriminates a human being from an animal. Therefore, it's very important to know what is the speciality, what is the importance of the human form of life. It is described, Ahara Nidra Bhaya Maithunamcha Samanyametat Pashubhir Naranam Dharmo Hitesham Adhiko Vishesho Dharmena Hinaha Pashubhi Samana. It is said that there are four things that are common between us human beings and the animals. Ahara, search for food. Nidra, for sleep. I would like to make one small request. Kindly keep your mobiles either switched off or in a vibratory mode, so that this topic itself is very, very subtle and requires little concentration. And many of you, I'm sure, have come at the end of the day, and in the weekday is going to be a working day, so it may be very exhaustive, very difficult to concentrate for 2 hours. So my sincere request is, kindly keep your mobiles. At least you know that it's going to be 2 hours, so be prepared for it. So ahara, arranging for food. Nidra, for sleep. Bhaya, for defending oneself. And maithunamcha, procreation. Samanyametat pashubhir naranam. It is said these four things are common between us and the animals. If you see the life of an animal, it is, the whole thing is based on these. In fact, in the biological language, they would call it self-preservation and race preservation. Eating, sleeping and defending is for self-preservation, and procreation is race preservation. These are the natural biological needs of the body, instincts of the body. There is no need for animals to be trained in this. In fact, in Discovery, they show so many beautiful serials about different lifestyles of animals. They take one particular animal and study its whole life. If you have seen any of these serials, the whole thing that they talk is, how does this animal make arrangement for its food? What kind of food, how it hunts, how it gets its prey. Next, it talks about how it arranges for its sleep. How it defends itself from other animals of its own species or the other species. And ultimately, how it procreates. I'm sure you will never find that all the animals in the jungle one day came together and decided, let's discuss about what is the ultimate goal of life. Who are we? Where have we come from? What's the purpose of life? No. They're just interested in just ahara nidra bhaya maithunam cha samanyametat pashubhir naranam dharmo hitesham adhiko visheshu dharmena hinah pashu vismana. It's only in the human form of life that one can deeply introspect and go within and try to understand what is the nature of me, what's my constitutional, eternal nature, where have I come from, what's this manifestation that I see all about. If you have slept somewhere in a starlit night, which is very difficult to see in Bombay, in the skyline, but if you have gone somewhere in the village and slept this night, anyone gets this idea, you know, how insignificant I am, what the stars are, what is the end of this universe, and what is beyond that. Sometime or the other, everyone has at least thought about dharmena hinaha pashubhi samana. But unfortunately, today's lifestyle makes us so much busy, so entangled into just the basic instincts, just to make the two ends meet, takes so much, consumes so much of our life, that rarely do we get an opportunity to actually sit down with a cool head and try to think, you know, away from the rat race, what's all this? Ultimately, what's it I'm doing for? And anyone who does it has actually stepped into the first rung of the ladder of human form of life. Otherwise, he is nothing but a sophisticated animal. I'm sorry to use this word, but that's what the scriptures say. Dvipada pashu, two-legged animal. I would like to just tell you a small story, an actual incident. Once, the great conqueror Alexander the Great, he practically conquered half of the world. He came to India. And in India, he crossed the northern part, and he was camping there on the northern part of India near River Sindhu. So, as he was camping there, a thief entered his tent at night. And anything that he could lay his hands on, he just gathered everything and was about to make his escape when he was caught red-handed by his soldiers and produced before Alexander the Great. And Alexander was so shocked and angry at this man that he said, chop his head off. But to Alexander's surprise, the thief retorted back. He said, how dare you do this? Why do you do this? Alexander was shocked. He said, what do you mean? First of all, you are caught red-handed. Then you dare ask me why I should punish you? And the thief said, yes. But I think he had some sportive spirit, good Kshatriya. He said, I need an explanation. And the thief said, actually, what's the difference between me and you? He said, I am an individual, small-time thief. So what I do is enter private properties in the middle of the night, and with my two hands, whatever I can get, I gather and make my escape. And my dear sir, what do? You enter private countries, and because you have big army, you enter in the middle of the day. And then, as much as you can carry, you gather and you make your escape. And therefore, what I am doing, you are doing on a larger scale. I am a small-time thief, but you are doing this thievery in a bigger scale. And therefore, you are Alexander the Great. Because you are doing whatever I am doing on a greater scale. Surprisingly, Alexander was so much amused by this answer that he released him. The point is, human beings are meant for something higher in life. Dharmo hi tesham adhiko vishesho. If that inquiry is not made, then, I'm very sorry to say again, we are nothing but animal, the great. Because we are doing the same thing that the animal does, but in a more sophisticated way. The animals may eat on the street, anything that they get. We may eat in a 5-star hotel with wonderful arrangements, fork and spoon, whatever. They may sleep anywhere they like. And we may have wonderful arrangement, technologically designed. There are now beds, you know, filled with water and so many unimaginable kind of facilities. So, but once you sleep, the enjoyment of sleeping is the same. They may defend themselves with their claws and their teeth, and we may do it with some super Star Wars system. They may procreate, we may also have wonderful facilities, but the propensity is the same. And therefore, if life is nothing but doing the same old principles of eating, sleeping, mating and defending on a larger scale, we are nothing but sophisticated, polished, well-dressed, two-legged animals and nothing more. Therefore, the scriptures say, dharmo hi tesham adhiko vishesh. One should inquire. In fact, that is the purpose the higher intelligence has been given. We have that extra facility. Now, what is the speciality in human beings? There are some animals who may walk on two legs. But the idea is, that's not the thing. We have been gifted with one specific feature. And that is a higher intelligence. And that higher intelligence must be utilized for understanding the problems of life and solving the problems of life, understanding what is the ultimate goal of life, what is the purpose of life. Otherwise, as Arjuna says in the beginning of the Bhagavad Gita, which is where the opening verse before Krishna starts speaking the Bhagavad Gita, the first word, out of despondency, Arjuna begins, Karpanya dosho pahata swabhavaha prachami tvam dharma sammudhacheta. The first word he uses is Karpanya dosho. The word Karpanya comes from the word Kripana. Kripana means miserly. Opposite of Kripana is Brahmana. Brahmana does not mean simply a 50 paisa thread around your shoulder. Brahma janati iti brahmana. Brahmana means a broad-minded person who uses the gift of humankind, and that is his reasoning, power, intelligence. Otherwise, such a person is kripana, miserly. Now, who is a miser? Think about it. When do we call a person miser? Suppose a man has crores of rupees, stinking rich, and he locks all that treasure in a cupboard, locks it up, every day looks at it, closes it, but lives like a beggar on the street, eats like a beggar on the street, dresses like a beggar on the street, then we say, kanjoos aadmi hai, very miserly. Why? Because he has access to that wealth, but is not utilizing it. Similarly, human form of life, other than this four biological instinct, which is there even in the other species of life, has been gifted with one special feature. And that is reasoning power, intelligence, higher intelligence. If we simply lock it up, not use it, and use just enough intelligence, what the animals also have access to, simply to eat, sleep, mate and defend, and maybe in a very sophisticated way, then aren't we not miserly? Arjun recognizes this. He is not able to solve the problems of life. Therefore, he takes shelter. He says, Karpanya dosho upahata swabhava. That is the time when Gita was spoken. Till then, Krishna did not speak the Bhagavad Gita. He was keeping quiet and smiling. Okay, go ahead. Only when Arjuna understood this, then the Gita was started. Therefore, only a person who is not simply satisfied in his life by arrangement of eating, sleeping, mating and defending, who is really eager, desperate to know about one's own inner nature. Who am I? What's my purpose of life? What's the goal of life? For such a person, the Bhagavad Gita is meant. Therefore, I would like to congratulate you. That's why I congratulate you. Of course, I'm sure many of you may be more learned than me, but you have taken this step, taken out time, precious time, to come and discuss and interact and try to think about it. This is the beginning of human form of life, truly speaking. This is the first qualification for someone to receive the knowledge of Bhagavad Gita. One who is eager, hunger for knowing the higher values of life, higher purposes of life. So, the higher intelligence is meant for discrimination. Asatoma sadgamaya, tamasima jyotirgamaya, mrityorma amritangamaya. From asat, go to sat. From temporary, go to the eternal. Tamasima jyoti, from darkness go to light. From mrityorma amritangamaya, from death you go to deathlessness. This inquiry marks the beginning of human form of life. And therefore, so what is the inquiry into? Inquiry is for two purposes. One should actually inquire about, number one, the cause of suffering. No, none of us want suffering, but it is being imposed upon us. Therefore, this inquiry is the first aspect. And the second, what is the goal of life? What's my destination? Which direction should I head? Just imagine if a person is walking and you ask him, where are you going? I don't know. Wherever it takes me. That means he's not really understanding, you know, he's just loitering around. That's called loafing around without knowing the destination. So therefore, now the first inquiry is the cause of suffering. Amazingly, many don't even know they are suffering. That's the sign of ignorance. Therefore, one should actually understand what are the real problems of life. This is a very interesting question. Earlier when I used to do this course, I used to have a question answers or interaction. I said, what do you think is the problem of life? And everyone would come out with a question. We would write down on the board. To save time, I'm not going to go into detail. We have so many now, 100 people, so very difficult, that will take time. But most of the time people would say poverty is the problem. Corruption is the problem in life. So many. People don't have mental peace. So whatever. And we would write down everything. So do you really think poverty is a real problem? Because as the saying goes, in this material world, one man's food is another man's poison. One man's problem is another man's solution. You get some disease, it's your problem. But the doctor is praying, let there be more patients. That's my bread and butter. You meet with an accident, big problem. But the mechanic is praying that everyone let have at least one accident a day. Minor one, no problem. He should be alive to pay me my bill. Not a major accident. Some dents, good enough. Let it go on. Remember, Bombay, once I decided for the boys, we wanted to purchase umbrellas. So we went just towards market. And outside, on the footpath, there were people who were cursing, you know. Why does it rain? So much problem. All these people who stay on the footpath, every time it rains they have to move things. And then I go inside the shop to buy, And this fellow says, I wish it rains 12 months in a year. This is our season, because he's an umbrella manufacturer. So one man's food is another man's, food is another man's poison. So it's a very relative world. Poverty may be, yes, one may feel. You know, ask a man who's very poor, what do you want to do? He says, I want to go to America. If he's not aware of something better, some other better place. I want to become the richest man. I want to become a crorepati. And go to a crorepati, if there is, and ask him, sincerely, frankly, we are not going to publish your name. We are not come to interview you. Tell us, are you really happy? What would you really like to do? Most probably he will say, I want to go away from all, go somewhere in the natural wilderness, and you know, amidst the nature, clear water, cool air, I want to have a small hut and just be there. And you go to the Himalayas, where natural waters are flowing, a hut is there, beautiful air, and ask that fellow, ha bhaiya, where do you want to go? I want to go to Mumbai. Crorepati, I saw in the TV, Kaun Banega Crorepati. I want to be like that. I want to, you know, have the best facilities. It's a very relative world. Grass on the other side always looks greener. So it's a fact that these problems are very relative. But there are some real problems of life. Now, what are real problems? For a problem to be a real problem, they must satisfy three criteria. Think about it. For a problem to be a real problem, it must satisfy three criteria. Number one, a real problem is that which is common to all. Whoever you are, from the millionaires to the men on the street. If you are a white or a black, yellow or red, old or young, man or woman, fat or thin, rich or poor, whatever it is. Real problem is that which is common to all. Number two, real problem is that which no one wants. No one welcomes a problem. No one wants. And the third and the most unfortunate thing is, not only a real problem is common to all, not only no one wants it, but no one can ever avoid it. Everyone must go through it. If he survives through the few initial ones. So this is called real problems of life. And the scripture, the Bhagavad Gita describes, I'm sorry to say, not one, four of them. And what is that? Janma, Mrityu, Jara, Vyadhi, Dukha, Dosha, Anudarshanam. The Gita says, there are absolutely, you know, it's an absolute problem for everyone who exists in this creation. And that is Janma, birth, Mrityu, death, Jara, old age, and Vyadhi, diseases. Dukha, Dosha, Anudarshanam. Anudarshanam means everyone invariably must see it one day or the other. So let us discuss this. It's a very important thing because it's a truth for all of us. This is a truth of life, whether you accept it or not. You may like an ostrich close your eyes and say, no, it doesn't exist for me. But it's a fact of life. This is not being pessimist, this is being optimistic. Let's take from down. Go back. So first is death. As sure as death. How many of us welcome death? Please raise your hands. You are looking forward to the day when death is going to come and embrace you, and you will embrace it.
No one.
At least I don't see any raised hands. Till now at least I have not seen.
So death is a fact of life, as sure as death. We have never faced it, but we are all scared because we know that is the end of everything that we have, everything that we aspire for. Therefore, that's the most fearful thing. Many years ago, there was 12 big bomb blasts in Bombay. And after that, you could leave a suitcase anywhere in the middle of the city, in the middle of railway platform, and come back after 3 hours and claim it. No one would touch it. Why? Because anything could blow up. It could be a bomb, potentially. One of our persons, he had left a bag full of Bhagavad Gitas. And he remembered later, 3 hours later he went back, and there was a big crowd, so he thought, it's finished. Everyone was watching, and a dog was sniffing, and the inspector was standing. And this man went and held the bag, says, "Shh, don't touch it, there may be a bomb." He says, "No, these are Bhagavad Gitas." No one would touch it. Why? In fact, many of the trains were empty quite some time. So, it's a fact that everyone is afraid of death. Bhoge roga bhayam, kule chuti bhayam, vitte nripala bhayam. In the scripture say, so many kinds of fears are there. One who is enjoying, he is afraid of roga bhayam. One who is enjoying life, he is afraid of getting any disease. Hypertension, no salt. Diabetes, no sweet. Then what is life for? In this way, everyone, bale ripu bhayam, one who is strong is afraid of somebody more stronger than him. Rupe jaraya bhayam, one who is very beautiful. The last thing they want to see is some wrinkles on face and graying of hairs, shriveling up of the skin. Everyone is afraid of death. It's a fact of life. Next is disease. The word itself says, dis-ease. It puts you, not in a very ease. Right? Nobody wants this. But invariably, in fact, in today's day and age, it's more common than any other time. Earlier people were quite healthy, very rarely they saw hospital. But today, every third fellow has an asthma. Every second fellow has a low back pain. After 40, if you are sitting, getting up is a problem. If you are getting up, sitting down is a problem. So many. I'm shocked. So many people are dying out of heart attacks. 24-year fellow dies in a lift out of heart attack. Once, for one of our courses, a boy came just a few months back. And we had it for the youth. 17-year-old boy came and he said, "Excuse me, can I have a chair?" We had just put up the mats. He says, "Chair." Why? Because he had arthritis. 17-year-old boy. Shocking. Today, earlier than ever before, people become diseased at such an early age. And so many kinds of diseases, unknown kinds of diseases. And it's everyone, small time or big way, in some time or the other, everyone passes through this. No one is exempted from it. And then old age. Very few realize, especially the young people, they think that, this is going to go on for, they lived happily ever after. That happens only in fairy tales. And they think, generally, that's, at young age, you're jumping around, climbing stairs, running around. And I think that nothing is going to happen. This old man, a little burden to the society. But I would like to share with you today an experience. I had heard from scriptures that old age is a little difficult, difficult to bear with, and maybe I'll cope with it. I'll just give you one example in my life which really shook me. And this was like a practical realization. I used to visit GT Hospital to visit these AIDS patients. The counselor, give them some prasad, talk to them, relieve them. So that was my profession as a counselor. So, when I went one day, I was visiting so many patients, and
In one corner there was one man, old man, trying to do something. And as he was reaching his bed, just took a nail cutter and with all disgust, he just threw it and he said, "Damn it." And I just caught hold of the nail cutter and brought him and gave it to him. He said, "What's wrong?" He was in tears. He was just crying like anything. I said, what happened? You know, can I help you?" He started telling me his problem. He said, "Since half an hour I am trying to cut my toenail, I'm not able to do it." I said, "Why?" He said, "First of all, he has arthritis. So he can't bend his leg. So he has to stretch his hands and cut it. And because of sclerosis, because of old age, the toenails, all the nails have become so thick that he has to apply pressure. And because of old age," he was about 85 years old, "because of old age, his hands are shaking. So whenever he tries to put it at a point and move, it starts shaking. And he wants to apply pressure. But he says, I can't even touch my toe because it's like I can't even see my toenail properly because my vision is not clear. It's like a camera out of focus, you know, very blurred. And this is only the physical problem. We will discuss about the mental problem that he had under a different category. Problem that he had, you know, the emotional problem that he had. This is just the physical part. And I realized, all of us have to go through this. Maybe one part may be more better than the other, more dysfunctional than the other, and maybe it will come little earlier for some and little later for some. But it's going to come. It's a fact of life. We have to face it. Sometimes, if I ask any young people, "Oh, come to our temple." "Yeah, where is it?" "Grand Road." "Okay." But you ask an old man, "Where is it? Is there a bus that goes?" "Okay." "Which floor is it? Is there a lift?" Because there's a big problem for them. "Climb the stairs." "No, I have some heart problem. I can't get it." You have to think about so many things. This is just the external part. What to speak of the emotional problem that come because being treated like a pet dog at home, useless member of the family. And at that time, all your flashback is going on in your head of how much I was perfect, how independent I was, and now I'm completely treated like an insignificant vegetable. Even though everyone is trying to be sober, lovable and nice, still, for a person who has experienced that freedom, all of a sudden becoming dependent on someone is such an emotional defeat. And we have to face all of this. If we live through that old age, before the disease claims us, or death claims us in an accident, which is so common in nowadays. You know, every time a person leaves home, you don't know whether he's going to return home or not. So many accidents, so many this, so many that. Statistics. Luckily for India, no statistics are available. Otherwise, people will go mad. American statistics itself is so scaring. Lucky, thanks, that we don't we don't throw up statistics. And then there is, of course, the beginning of all of this is birth. Happy birthday. That's true, but then everything is going to come. That's the beginning. Punarapi jananam punarapi maranam punarapi janani jathareshayana. That's the beginning of everything. So in this way, scriptures describe, when a child is in the womb, what is the consciousness of the child? What it undergoes? What a misery, being packed up, very congested. And the worms within the mother's womb is biting because the skin is so fragile and tender. And any time the mother takes very hot stuff, any pungent and very spicy food, it burns the skin of the child. Miserable condition. Is waiting for the day to come out. But when he comes out, he realizes how helpless he is. He's crying, no one understands. Poor fellow is hungry, therefore he cries. And therefore the mother thinks that maybe he's cold and puts it something else. And not wise, you know, trying to express itself, himself, herself. So these are just a few. Unfortunately, there are three more problems.
So be ready for it. I wish there were only four, but what to do? There are three more. Other than birth, old age, disease and death, there are miseries caused by one's own body and mind. It is called adhyatmika klesha. Klesha means miseries caused by one's own body and mind. We have already discussed about bodily problems or diseases. Think about the mental diseases. What do you think is the problem in this day of advanced medical technology? Is it AIDS? Is it cancer? No. The biggest problem today, all of the world, even in the most advanced countries, in fact, more in advanced countries than in other countries, is stress. Stress management, anger management, what are so many management courses. Stress management is the most favorite topic everywhere, because people are stretched and stressed to the maximum extent. It's just like a stringed instrument. What is the proof that you are stressed? The more you tighten the string and you touch the string, it just goes on and on for, you know, quite some time. One little agitation and that fellow is off, and 1 week he'll just go on ranting about it. Why did this fellow did this? Why did this fellow did this? So many people committing suicides. And you read in the newspapers, 99% of these people who commit suicides are not the people on the street who are, you know, desperate, they didn't get the food, or because of hunger, or because of some diseases, they are frustrated with the body. No. Most of the time these are the elite class or students, so much pressed, so much of stress, that so much of competition, that if they are not able to do it, they see frustration. And therefore the only relief that they find is jumping out from the topmost floor, whichever they can find nearby. It is a problem. In fact, 1992 statistics in America, in US, it was said that 33% of the population seeks psychiatric help sometime or the other in their life. That means 1 in 3 person visits a psychiatrist. And if it's really true, probably some psychiatrists visit others. It's a fact. Today, counseling in schools is also, people, psychologists are strongly advocating that we should introduce in schools. People are so stressed out. People go haywire. Recently in Chicago, children just took out the guns and started shooting. There were some snipers shooting at children. People go crazy, do all kinds of things. Wives just can't tolerate the frustration in their life because of the competition. They just can't cope up. This is a fact. This is only mental. And actually the mental problems are more miserable than the bodily problems. Therefore they can't tolerate it. And then, misery is caused by other living entities. Okay, somehow, okay, we'll tolerate ours. But even if you want to be happy, one fellow will make your life miserable. It could be one of your partners. It could be one of your intimate family members. I was a counselor. I can tell you one thing that I found common. One of the first things a counselor does is building rapport with the other person. And during this counseling section, I would ask, so everything is happy? Are you happy? Believe me, 3.5 years of my job, I am yet to find a person who says, perfectly happy. They say, yeah, happy. Few seconds and then, but blah 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 blah, something. This one thing, that's all. If this thing goes away, then everything will be all. And if that goes away, something else will come. Invariably. So it's either it's one of the partners, either it's one of the family members, maybe it's one of the relatives who makes your life miserable, maybe one of your neighbors. Or the neighbor's dog, which only barks in the middle of the night, only when you go to sleep. Or the mosquitoes, which seem to even defeat the tortoise mosquito coil. Some living entity will make your life miserable. It could be boss in the office, or the subordinate in the office, or your servant at home does not turn up only when he's supposed to be. Something or the other, one living entity will make your life miserable. Even if you want to be happy. It is a fact. We will discuss on the fifth day why this happens. Invariably, there is no exception, one living entity will make your life miserable. If you are fortunate, only one. Otherwise, many. This is called adhibhautika klesha, or klesha or miseries caused by other living entities. Then there is adhidaivika klesha. Adhidaivika means natural disturbances for which we have no control. If it is too hot, life is miserable. If it is too cold, life is miserable. If there is an earthquake, life is miserable. We saw Latur. We saw this problem in Bhuj and so many other places throughout history. We read, helpless, the whole building collapsed like a house of cards. Simply just enters into nothingness. So these are, or flood, storms, so common. Or some forest fires. A few years back in America, there was a forest fire. And which area? Beverly Hills, Hollywood. Cream people of society, they stay there. Richest men stay there. And there was a forest fire. And with all technological advancement, the only thing that they could do was to shout out, get out as early as possible, otherwise you'll be burnt. And billions and billions of dollars of property was just finished, burned to ashes, within no time. Earthquakes in Japan is the biggest problem. All technology has failed. Try to protect that. So in this way we find that these are problems which are common to all. No one wants it, but no one can avoid it. It's a fact. This is the truth. These are the real problems of life. Now, we may say that, no, that's not true. Since the time of industrial renaissance, cultural renaissance that has happened in the 14th and 15th centuries, we have made tremendous technological advancement, material advancement. Gone are those days when people used to travel by horse to communicate. Today you just press a button and you can communicate to any corner of the earth. Just press of a button. You can transfer money from here to there, you can communicate, you can talk to a person, you know, across the world, on the other side. Just, you know, a mobile, wherever you are, whenever you are, you just press and just communicate. Karlo duniya mutthi mein. Yeah, whole world is in your hands. But somewhere it slips away. You try, it's like catching air. Only after it comes inside the mutthi, then the problem starts. It's a fact. We have made technological advance, no doubt about it. But what is real advancement from the Vedic point of view? Real advancement in life is to solve the problems of life. Let's try to see. We have made advancement. Have we stopped the problem of death? The only contribution is it has enhanced death. Faster, earlier, because of so many road accidents, because of so many other, you know, accidents that occur, electrocuted, somebody like this or that. In today we may say medicines, but I've heard of so many cases where that has actually reduced the lifespan of people. Why people are slowly turning towards naturopathy, turning towards Ayurveda? It's because people are disgusted with simply symptomatic relief. The technological advancement gives symptomatic relief. but they don't address the real problems of life. So, have death become less? No. Have people stopped becoming old? Yes. It is a fact that you can cover up death or cover up old age. You go to an orthodontist, with toothless man goes inside and comes out smiling with all his 32 teeth. You may enter inside and come out with, you know, like contact lenses. No one knows that you are having a problem in the eyes. Earlier there was a hearing aid, box type, you know, here and the wire here. Now, technological advancement, behind the ear, it just goes like this. No one notices color of the skin. Then now, in the ear, hearing aid, you just fit it in. And then, today, in the canal, you just insert it. No one notices. That's a fact, okay. But the problems are there. You may nicely cover it. When I was very young, I think 10th standard, I saw a beautiful cartoon. This cartoon, very simple, but a very profound message. The first cartoon showed a beautiful lady, beautiful hair and huge goggles and very voluptuous body walking. And so many are turning their eyes to, you know, have a second glance. And then the next picture showed her having walked into her house in front of the mirror. She has taken off her artificial hair and then the goggles show the sunken eyes. Then, you know, all these artificial things to reveal an old hag. The idea was, superficially, yes, you have made everything very nice, but the fact of the bitter truth remains. You may externally just cover it, give a nice package, but you can't solve the problem. So, a temporary patchwork, a civilization of temporary patchwork does not, a symptomatic relief is not the solution an intelligent person seeks. An intelligent person wants go to the root of the problem and solve the problems permanently. That is intelligence. So therefore we find that in spite of the fact that we are technologically advanced, modern technological advancement, even if it does give temporary relief. It may give you some temporary relief, but not permanent solution. It can't give you a permanent solution. In fact, the solutions give rise to other problems. We know television, computers, mobiles, they are such a powerful medium. But just wait. If you are not already aware, just wait to see its reaction on the future generation. Already, the dangers of television in America, where they started it long back, the biggest problem in the 80s were children watching television developing insensitivity to violence, insensitivity to lusty activities. That's why it has increased. It was in a rampage. And the psychologists have done the studies and said that constant watching on the television where sex and violence is the theme and illicit relationships is being watched day in and day out so many thousands of times within a span of 3-4 years is deeply instilled in the children. Number one, they become insensitive to violence. That's how we saw in Chicago. A child getting a gun, shooting down 14 of his schoolmates, and then the teacher comes, he shoots down the teacher, a police lady comes, he shoots her down, ultimately he shoots himself. Three incidents like this, two in America, one in Germany. Can you imagine a child becoming so insensitive, taking pleasure in shooting down people? This is just tip of the iceberg. Children here,
going into some homes and shooting down old ladies, young children, killing them, strangling them. It's common somewhere, you know, in the newspapers. It was shocking. Ghastly revelation of what's happening underneath the skin within the minds of people. It's not, but very soon, unfortunately or fortunately, there's no statistics in India. Otherwise, it'll be scary. What happens? So this is a fact. Modern solution gives rise to only more problems. We find the World Bank did research in late 90s. I have so many slides, but it ran too much, therefore I just stopped it. This is the World Bank conducted, and it says, Mumbai is a gas chamber. This was the title of the article, and I read. It said, 97% of average Mumbaiites are inhaling auto emission, which is more than the dangerous level. 97%. And the most affected are the people above 40 meters in the multi-storied buildings. Sea view, mountain view. They may get the view, but all the cloud there which forms enters there. This is what they report. And average lifespan goes down by 10 years, especially areas where there are maximum traffic problems, bottlenecks. And average Mumbaiite inhales 2.5 packets of cigarettes a day. This is non-smokers. 2.5. The auto emission that is inhaled by average Mumbaiite is 2.5 packets every day. So even if you are a non-smoker living in a non-smoking zone, still you are inhaling just by being in Bombay. I love Mumbai. 2.5 packets a day. Can you imagine? This is World Bank statistics in 1998 or something. I would like to just briefly read out. I don't want to go on painting blue pictures, you know, of all the sufferings. We have already, all of us are aware, we have come through it. But I would like to just briefly summarize the point that I'm trying to make. How mere technological advancement cannot give us relief, but rather adds to the problem. This was summarized by some, I don't know who, in this title, in a beautiful kind of a poetry and a passage called The Paradox of Life. It says, life, it makes you think. For those who can't see, I'll just read it out. Think. I'm going to read very slowly. You have ample time to just think about it, because that's what he's asking us to do. He says, life, it makes you think. Now, what does it make you think? The paradox of our time in history is that we have taller buildings but shorter tempers, wider freeways but narrower viewpoints, so many wars over religion, so many wars over borders, so many wars over, you know, petty things. We spend more but have less. We buy more, but enjoy less. Next. We have bigger houses and smaller families. More conveniences, but less time. It's a fact. Today we have so many gadgets for reducing time. What else do we know? Would used to take about half an hour. You put a mixie and everything happens within so much time. But then people say, we have no time. After so many gadgets, washing machine, you don't have to have anyone to do it. Everything is, even drying is done by the machine. Everything is there, but still you have no time. We have more degrees, but less sense. Very animalistic. Today's values have gone down so much. Educated people, they have big, big degrees. But even in the biggest colleges, even in management colleges, police have to stand there to see that they don't copy. What is the purpose of education? They are educated people, but they are the most dangerous. Therefore, police have to be keep guard so that you don't copy. Is that education? Education should make a person cultured, trustworthy, reliable. Advancement. More knowledge, but less judgment. More experts, but less solutions. More experts. In fact, there is a saying about expertise, or he says, advancement, especially in the medical science, there is specialization. You go to the hospital and say, what is your problem? Nose. Nose. You have to go there. If it is ear, you come here. So ultimately, more and more specialization, that means, specialization means knowing more and more about less and less. And ultimately this statement said, super specialization means knowing everything about nothing. Operation successful, patient dead. I am specialization in right nose, so I block it because there is some closing, and I block it, or there is some opening, I close it, and that fellow died. That's not my problem. Nose is corrected. I mean, it may be an exaggeration or joke, but practically you see that. People have stopped seeing the whole human being. You go from this specialty to this specialty to that specialty, you know, like supermarket. You have one problem, one fellow can't solve anything. Below this, you go there. Above this, you come here. So more experts, but less solutions. More medicine, but less wellness. Next. We have multiplied our possessions, but reduced our values. We talk too much, love too seldom, and hate too often. So many broken homes. We have learned how to make a living, but not a life. We have added years to life, not life to years. That means the quality of life has completely finished. We have been all the way to the moon and back, but have trouble crossing the street to meet the new neighbor. In Bombay, I know of people, years together they are staying, they don't know who their next neighbor is. We have gone to the moon, but we have no communication with the neighbor. We have conquered outer space, but not inner space.